trained with any kind of technique, then we're really changing the person as well as the machine, or we're changing the bits of the machine which are particularly central to who the person is. And in that sense, it looks as though that the sorts of projects that you're talking about here, using genetic engineering to modify brain circuits, are rather different from using genetic engineering to modify, let's say, hair or a bone in my foot or something like that. So the ethical questions specifically related to the fact that you're working on biological circuits so intimately related to the humanity of the individual raise some particularly interesting questions. Now, your project is different from many other brain interventions because it's focusing on dementia. Many of the other neuroethical questions about brain intervention have been focusing on behavioral movement disorders and psychiatric disorders. And the area of neuroethics which has probably thought most about brain intervention is the movement disorders area, because direct electrical stimulation from electrodes implanted inside the human brain is known to be very important as a therapy in many movement disorders, behavioral disorders, and psychiatric disorders. So in dementia, the main aim is not to restore a behavior, but I think probably it's to restore the capacity to remember. So the actual outcome measure of your intervention is somehow intrinsically subjective. It's about giving people their mental life back, their inner mental life back, restoring the ability to experience, remember, and handle information. And then that's a very interesting possibility, a very great ambition. But it also means that you have to confront the effects of your intervention on the inner subjective life of the people to whom your intervention is ultimately targeted to be given. Because you're going to be reconstructing their mental lives. You're going to be helping them to reconstruct their own memories. But you might also therefore have some interesting ethical risks, where you might change memories that they have retained, you might transform their memories, you might alter their capacity to carry their own mental life with them, which is really what our memory is. So I think one of the interesting neuroethical debates that's raised by your particular project would be what ethical considerations arise when the aim of the intervention is really purely on the inner states and the inner subjective information that the individual brain handles. You're not trying to change a behavior, you're trying to change an intrinsically subjective aspect of the human being. It's a great ambition. It's clear that dementia is a debilitating disease, and I think the fact that the target is a subjective rather than a behavioral target doesn't mean that the intervention is wrong or is unethical. It just raises some particularly interesting problems. So we can cut there. I'll take a drink of water. And that was, what was that? That was slightly focused at least. Sorry, so once I open my mouth, I just talk.
That's okay, alive again.
What do? I press that? Here is that your intervention is based on genetic engineering. And that's different from other kinds of neural interventions, which are either pharmacological, that's classic style of intervention, or effectively neurophysiological or neuroelectrical, like brain stimulation. So are there any particular ethical hazards that are associated with genetic engineering? The answer is yes, we know them. They're very carefully regulated. So the handling of genetic material and the control of genetic material and the possibility of effects on the human genome are all very well very carefully tracked, I should say, by neuroethicists. So there are these two kind of high-risk areas of your project. You're going for the brain and you're going for it with genetic engineering. Both of those are ethically important, as you know. Is there any particular problem about the interaction between them? I think not. I think there are particular ethical concerns with targeting the brain. There are particular ethical concerns with genetic engineering, but I don't see any particular reason why there should be any specific additional concern with targeting the brain using genetic engineering rather than targeting it with other methods. So I don't think, even though you've got two sort of ethical scare words in your project, I don't see that there's any realistic additional ethical hazard created by the fact that they're overlapping in this particular piece of research. Cut that. Okay, so let's just deal with one interesting neuroethical question here is about when we should intervene in processes which are in some sense natural. So many people have ethical concerns about projects which specifically aim at prolonging human life without any other goal and apparently infinitely. So a lot of people have major ethical concerns with interventions that are purely targeted on longevity, immortality research. People have serious ethical concerns about that. I do. So we've all got to die sometime. And we've all got to degenerate sometime. So degeneration is in many ways a natural process. So that raises a particular question about what should we do to intervene with degenerative processes? Are there any particular ethical hazards with postponing degeneration? If you postpone all degeneration permanently, are you effectively just trying to make people immortal, and what are the ethical questions about that? And that's a very wide question, which I don't think anybody has yet confronted in detail, probably because they haven't yet had to, because our ability to intervene in degenerative conditions is currently still very limited. But your aim as scientists is to improve that ability, and you should at least think about what would be the ethics of a situation where we had therapies, where we could intervene to prevent all degenerative processes happening, and our interventions could be permanently effective. Because at that point, you wouldn't be far from having an immortality project. And the question is, do you want that? Now, there's no doubt that dementia is a debilitating disease. There's no doubt that quality of life is strongly affected. There's no doubt that it can be restored. But let's just think about, is there some level of degeneration that we just expect and that we just tolerate? And I suspect there is. I think you're probably right to focus your attempts on trying to prevent degeneration of the mind, because there does seem to be some sense in which we can cope with our bodies degenerating as they get older. I can sort of cope with mine degenerating as I get older, a little bit. But I really want to keep my mind, because that's the basis of my personality. And if I lose my mind, then I lose the capacity to enhance the happiness of the people around me. I lose the ability to relate to my family and to my loved ones and to my friends. So I think it is certainly ethical to intervene in degeneration. It may not be ethical to permanently eradicate all degenerative processes. So it may be one of those things where moderation is important. And I think you're absolutely right to target those degenerations first, because it's very clear if you look at happiness that it's got a lot to do with mental function as well as with physical function. Cut that. It's quite interesting. So we now know a lot about individual identity in a new way, because we know that people's individual identity is strongly related to their individual genome, to their genetic code, their genetic makeup. And we now have the possibility to know your own genetic profile. We have the possibility to use that genetic profile for personalized medicine.
we have the possibility to have this mechanistic knowledge of what makes us us, and then use that for better or for worse. And an interesting question would be, how much of that information should we really have access to? Should we be able to use this kind of genetic information to do anything we want to other people? So if we're part of a healthcare system and we're prescribing therapies, it's obviously useful if we can make sure that we prescribe a therapy that's appropriate for the individual patient. That's absolutely fine. But how much of that person's identity should we be allowed to know? And how specifically should we be allowed to change the intervention according to that individual? Or to what extent should we actually treat all individuals as fundamentally somehow equal, biologically equal? So that's a new challenge. There's never really been in the past any major ethical concern about the differences in individual makeup, because we haven't understood them. But if we do come to understand them, we will not only have to face difficulties of societal distribution of therapies and interventions and potential medical benefits, but we'll also have to handle very carefully the very detailed and sort of constitutive information that we will have about individuals. We can take some interesting examples of this. If we know our own genetic profiles, we may know in advance the probability that we'll get dementia. And an individual may decide that they wish to know that, and they may, for example, buy the information about themselves which will allow them to predict that. That information might be dangerous, it might be incorrect, it might encourage them to, for example, terminate their own life when that might be considered undesirable. So that sort of information raises ethical, potential ethical hazards if the individual has it. But it's probably not going to be just the individual that has it. It's going to be the individual, at least through a number of agencies, healthcare providers, data banks, biobanks, and it's going to be other actors, private companies, individual doctors, healthcare systems, governments, regulators. So the number of people and number of organs, social organs, agents, who are going to be involved in contributing the information that's relevant to my life and my decisions about my life is going to go up and up and up as projects which investigate what is going to happen to my brain and to my mental life as I age, and how you can fix those problems in my brain as I degenerate and as I age. The number of players involved in that story is going to be very, very high. And I think for the moment, in my view, we need regulation. I think governments are the right people to help societies to provide that regulation. And I think there's really no substitute for having intelligent interdisciplinary conversations by accountable bodies at government level to consider what's best for the individual, what's best for the other individuals who don't look as though they're immediately involved. So, for example, it may be good for you to have access to your personal genetic profile, but suppose there are a lot of other people who can't afford it. Is it actually good for them that some people have access to information which might give them social leverage while others don't? These are profound questions, and I think we need good regulatory oversight and well-advised governments to deal with them. In Britain, we've had really a good experience, I think, with Fertilisation and Embryology Authority, which has done some pretty difficult thinking about ethics and human life. Now, with increasing societal problems of degenerative disease and the capacity to intervene with degenerative disease, I think we need an equal intellectual caliber of work by academics, lay people, stakeholders, ethicists, lawyers, and government to really work out the correct set of first principles that regulators can follow in this area. Cut. That was a little bit sort of...